Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. So we're continuing our reading from the 8th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is chapter 24. Today's verse should be 6. Yeah. Uchchavacheshu Bhuteshu Charan Vayor Iveshparaha Uchchavachatvam Bhajate Nirgunatvar Diyo Gunai Uchchavacheshu Bhuteshu Charanvayor Iveshparaha Nochavachatvang Bhajate Nirgunatva Diyogunai Uchchavacheshu Bhuteshu Charanvayor Iveshparaha Nochchavachatvang Bhajate Nirgunatvad Yogunai Uchchavacheshu Bhuteshu Charanvayor Iveshparaha Nochchavachatvang Bhajate Nirguna dhiyo gunai. Please chant. Nochavachatvang bhajate Nirgunatvad yogunai Uchchavacheshu bhuteshu Charanvayor Iveshvaraha Nochavachatvang bhajate Nirgunatvad yogunai Uchchavacheshu bhuteshu Charanvayor Iveshparaha Nochavachatvang bhajate Nirgunatvad yogunai Uchchavacheshu bhuteshu Charanvayor Iveshvaraha Nochchavachatvang bhajate Nirgunatvad yogunai Vaishnavins Uchchavacheshu bhuteshu Charanvayor Iveshvaraha Nochavachatvang bhajate Nirgunatvad yogunai Uchchavacheshu bhuteshu Charanvayor Iveshparaha Nochavachatvang bhajate Nirgunatvad yogunai Uchchavacheshu bhuteshu Charanvayor Iveshvaraha Nochavachatvang bhajate
Nirgunatvati yogunai. Ucchavacheshu bhuteshu. Charanvayo riveshparaha. Nocchavachatvang bhajate. Nirgunatvati yogunai. So, word meanings. Ucha avacheshu. Having higher or lower bodily forms. Puteshu. Among the living entities. Charan. Behaving. Vayu iva. Exactly like the air. Ishvaraha. The Supreme Lord. Not. Ucha avachatvam. The quality of higher or lower grades of life. Bhajate. Accepts. Nirgunatvat. Because of being transcendental. Above all material qualities. Diyaha. Generally. Gunai, by the modes of material nature. Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse. Like the air passing through different types of atmosphere, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although appearing sometimes as a human being and sometimes as a lower animal, is always transcendental. Because he is above the material modes of nature, he is unaffected by higher and lower forms. Please repeat. Like the air passing through different types of atmosphere, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although appearing sometimes as a human being and sometimes as a lower animal, is always transcendental. Because he is above the material modes of nature, he is unaffected by higher and lower forms. So, Srila Prabhupada's purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the master of the material nature. Maya Dakshena Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharam. Bhagavad Gita, 9th chapter, text 10. Therefore, being the supreme controller of the laws of nature, the Lord cannot be under their influence. An example given in this regard is that, although the wind blows through many places, the air is not affected by the qualities of these places. Although the air sometimes carries the odor of a filthy place, the air has nothing to do with such a place. Similarly, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, being all good and all auspicious, is never affected by the material qualities like an ordinary living entity. Purushak Prakriti Stohi Bhunkte Prakriti Jan Gunan. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 13, text 22. When the living entity is in the material nature, he is affected by its qualities. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, however, is not affected. Disrespectfully, one who does not know this considers the Supreme Personality of Godhead an ordinary living being. Avajanati mang mudha. Bhagavad Gita 9:11. Parang bhava majanata. Such a conclusion is reached by the unintelligent because they are unaware of the transcendental qualities of the Lord. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavani Paschacha Deshtarne. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unvilitam Jena Tasmaya Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobishtang Shtapitang Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam. Vandehang Shri Guru Shri Tapada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavaksha. Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Ragana Tanvitam Tang Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitangsha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshri Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priya Vancha Kopaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanang Pavanebhyo Vaisavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasudeva Gaur Bhaktivedanta. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this purport is chock full of very, very important concepts to understand. The living entity, the minute living entity, can never encompass, understand the unlimited personality of God. We can't even really appreciate that He has personality. Although Prabhupada made it so clear, so easy to understand in last Sunday's lecture. He was saying, just like you have a father, his father is a person, his father is a person. Go on, so when you get to the Supreme Father, he's a person. So simple to understand. Every single, and I was stressing this point on Sunday when I spoke to those 60 students who came from Moore Park College, that many religions lose sight of the personality of God. They accept God. They even refer to Him as the Supreme Father. So Father immediately implies person. Nobody approaches a stone and say, oh, Dad. Everybody understands immediately when you say Father that there's a personality involved. But some or other, they don't have a clear concept of this. And therefore, they even get upset if you refer to God as a person. Like in some religions, there's no question of painting a picture of God, they'll kill you. You can't even show a picture of their prophet, they'll kill you. You see? They are so out of touch with personality that they become afraid of personality. They're fearful of personality. At least the impersonalists are open. Ultimately, there is no personality. Yes, we accept that Krishna came and Rama came and so many incarnations, but they're just representations of the impersonal absolute. At least they're honest about their their misunderstanding. But those religions who claim that they're worshiping a Supreme Father, and then they get upset if you talk about personality, that they're really confused. And they're just trying their best to confuse others. So we're understanding clearly from the Srimad Bhagavatam, because we're hearing from realized souls, that ultimately God is a person. And even when He appears in this world in forms that are apparently like those of animals, like now we're in this chapter, we're discussing the Matsya avatar, still there's personality there. Generally speaking, we don't see so much personality in the aquatics. I mean, there is obviously some personality there, but it's not so evident like when you're dealing with a dog or a cat. No two dogs or cats are alike. They're completely different personalities. When you're dealing with aquatics, it's not so evident. You know, one salmon looks like another salmon and they act all the same way. You know, they swim upstream to spawn, they go downstream to the ocean. They don't seem to have any individual personality. But there's personality there. Wherever there's life, there's a soul. And wherever there's a soul, there is personality. Sometimes very covered, like in a tree or in aquatics. Again, not so evident. But when Krishna appears in these forms, as is being pointed out today, is not influenced by the modes of nature. We are very much influenced by the modes. And we have an ISKCON term, moded out. Isn't it? Way back in the early 70s, we used to talk like that. And it's still, I guess, going on. But when the modes really hit you heavily, you say, you know, Prabhu, today I'm really moded out. I just can't motivate myself to do anything. Like that. Because we know the modes of nature can really hit you heavily. The mode of ignorance can hold you down in that bed and you don't want to get out. You know, the mode of passion can make you bounce off the walls like anything and you're not really thinking clearly. And in mode of goodness even, you can become so infatuated with your own knowledge. You know so much, you can recite the entire Bhagavad Gita by heart and you become, but it's all the modes of nature make you concentrate on yourself as being the center of everything. When you rise above the modes, then you concentrate on Krishna as being the center of everything. That's clear distinction, easy to understand. If you're completely focused on yourself, always talking about I, me, and mine, then you're under the modes of nature. When you're beyond the modes of nature, then you talk about Krishna, and you describe Krishna, and you glorify Krishna, and you just Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Easy distinction. So it's being pointed out here again. And we know, having studied the earlier cantos, Ete Chang Sakala Pungsam, Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam, Indriyari Vyakalam Lokam, Mridayanti Yuge Yuge, that after describing so many incarnations with specific functions, he says all of them are parts of the Supreme Lord Krishna, who is the Swayam Bhagavan. He is the original source of everything. Indri Indra Ari. Indra Ari. The enemies of Indra, like Bali Maharaj was previously in that camp. He came to fight Indra and drove him out of his city, and all the demigods had to run away and hide. So there are enemies of Indra, or in other words, enemies of the devotees, enemies of goodness, enemies of progressive spiritual life. Some living entities become so molded out, covered by the modes of passion and ignorance, that they hate devotees. They don't like anything devotional, anything to do with God or spiritual advancement. It's all about us. We want to enjoy now, and you guys getting our way with your so-called principles and telling us don't do this and don't do that. We don't want to hear that. We want to do whatever we want to do. And who's going to stop us? We have the might is right, like that. So this is the demoniac mentality. And sometimes even those who are entrusted with curbing such mentality, the demigods for sure, and even on individual planets like on this earth planet, we have supposed to have rulers who are in that mood of curbing down the demoniac so that those who are progressively making progress in spiritual life, they can do so without disturbance. But sometimes they become overrun. And therefore, Krishna comes. Indrari Vyakulam Lokam. Mridayanti Yuga Yuga. In every yuga, Krishna comes. And not only comes, he also sends his empowered representatives. Like today is the appearance of Ramanujacharya. Rama Anuja. That name Rama, we have Ramachandran, Ramanavami coming up. Anu following Ja. So one whose birth follows Rama. So it's the name of Lakshman. It means Lakshman. Because he came after Ram in Ram Leela. So this Ramanujacharya was given that name. It's the name of Lakshman. And he was an empowered personality. As we know, there are four sampradayas, bona fide disciplic successions through which this Vedic knowledge is supposed to be disseminated. Any of our brahmacharis want to say? Four sampradayas. Give me one. Known as the Sri Sampradaya. Right, this is the sampradaya that Ramanuja appeared in. Another one. That's our sampradaya, yes. Third. Lakshmi, Brahma. Shiva, known as the Rudra Sampradaya. Yes. And then the fourth? Yes. The Kumara Sampradaya. So, Ramanuja appeared in the Sri Sampradaya. And he's not the founder of the Sri Sampradaya. That Sampradaya had existed before he appeared. His immediate, you could say, predecessor was Yamunacharya. And there were Alvars and so many others celebrated. But he is the prominent Acharya in that line. Just as Madhvacharya is the prominent Acharya in our line, even though he was preceded by others. Founder himself, Lord Brahma, who's still around. As long as there's a universe, Lord Brahma is alive. He hasn't gone anywhere. So, but still, Madhvacharya is the prominent Acharya in our line. Ramanujacharya was the prominent Acharya in the Sri Sampradaya. He appeared in the year, it's accepted around 1017. So, preceded Lord Chaitanya by quite a few years. Very, very scholarly person. He's famous for his Sri Bhashya commentary on Vedanta Sutra. So this is the indication in all four lines is that this spiritual knowledge, this Vedic knowledge, Vedic culture, as we were stressing, Prabhupada was stressing, the Brahminical culture, is what's the goal of our human form of, is to make progress on that path. Understanding the Vedic literature, hearing about the different incarnations of the Lord, trying to understand so that we can qualify ourselves to again enter directly the Leela of the Lord. Not try to imitate the Leela of the Lord, which is what material life is all about. We're all trying to imitate Krishna's position as the enjoyer, the protector, the friend. We can't really assume any of those positions. We're not the enjoyers. We are meant to be enjoyed by Krishna. And when we put ourselves in that position voluntarily, then we actually enjoy. In that lecture, Prabhupada was stressing that we should go before the Lord and say that I have been for so long trying just for my own sense of enjoyment. Now you please direct me so that I can give you enjoyment. See, this is our, we should be very conscious of that. That we've been trying lifetime after lifetime for our own sense gratification and not really getting anywhere. And we can see this in the current life, how many plans we've made to be happy and how they become frustrated, ultimately. Either by getting this job or getting this level of education or being involved with this person or moving to that place or whatever. We make so many plans. And ultimately, they're all frustrated. And if you think, no, I'm not frustrated, and I'm very happy with my situation, then death comes along and frustrates you. You can't continue in that situation very long. You can't continue. Ultimately, death is there for everyone. So, the Acharyas, like Ramanuja Acharya, Madhva Acharya, and their descendants, Srila Prabhupada in our line, they stress this point, that stop trying to be happy by chasing after sense gratification. It's just a losing proposition. It's already a lost cause. Know that going into it. It's a lost cause. So why put your energy there? Put your energy into something that will give you hope. At least there's some hope of ultimate perfection, ultimate satisfaction. And that is what the spiritual path is all about. We're starting from the material level, yes, but there is hope that if we continue following the simple path, and Prabhupada said in that lecture also, it was a very powerful lecture. Many devotees called me afterwards and said, we've never heard that lecture before. Where did you find that one from? So first of all, I'm not the one who selects the lectures. Jagadish Nanda selects the lectures every Sunday. I just play them. But that particular lecture, July 25, 1971, New York, Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th Canto, Text 11. Very powerful lecture. Prabhupada was really, as Amala Bhakta said to me, Prabhupada was not just swinging with two hands, he was swinging with 10 hands. So this is the point. The philosophy that is being handed down in this six-book succession is, on the one hand, very simple. You're not God. Krishna is God. Worship him. The small worships the great. But it's also very powerful, extremely powerful, and detailed. And detailed. We can get into so much detail if we... But as Prabhupada himself said in that lecture, even if you are not inclined to read books, then just chant Hare Krishna and take prasadam, and you will make rapid spiritual progress. So the philosophy is there, and that's what attracted me, was the philosophy. I'd always been seeking and reading a lot of different books and following different paths and whatnot. So when I first met the devotees in New York and got that first pamphlet, Krishna, the Reservoir of Pleasure, it made so much sense immediately. The philosophy just was very clear. It made so much sense. So I immediately started going to the Henry Sri Temple. And it is very clear if you're fortunate enough to have, even though my head was definitely not clear at that point, I was studying hard and partying hard. So there was a lot of fog in there. But somehow or other, the prophet cut right through that fog, and I could appreciate that there was something very valuable here. But even if one is not in that position, like many people come in contact with the Bhagavad Gita, and they read it, and it just doesn't cut through, so they put it aside. But still, that little contact with the philosophy hopefully will push them in the future, near future, to again inquire, well, what is this all about? And if you're not able to assimilate the philosophy right away, then at least take to the chanting, dancing, taking prasadam. That also works very, very quickly, as we've seen. We had a class of 60 students here and on Sunday, and they immediately got into the chanting and dancing mood. Narottara Prabhu led a very fired up kirtan, and it just drew them right in, and they were ecstatic. By the time we got across the street for prasadam, they were all fired up, and they asked a lot of good questions. Brigapati Prabhu came over and helped me in dealing with the questions and answers. So that's all it takes, really. If you're, again, fortunate and a little bit not so clouded over, you can immediately accept and understand the philosophy, or at least try to understand. And as Krishna says, Chaktva Deham Punar Janma Nayeti, if you take the time, Janma Karma Chame Divyam, to understand the transcendental nature of Krishna's appearance and activities in this world, they're transcendental, beyond the modes of nature. And again, when he appears, even in these supposedly lower animal type forms, he does not act ordinary. Like when he came as Lord Varaha, came out of Lord Brahma's nose, the size of a thumb, and in an instant filled up half the sky. Not an ordinary boar. And those who were elevated, they understood, so they immediately started chanting Vedic hymns to satisfy him. And similarly with this matsya, fish incarnation. Very small fish, begged for shelter, he put him in a little bowl, immediately filled it up. Next bowl, filled it up. Pond, filled it up. Put him in a lake, he filled it up. Took him to the ocean, he filled that up. Ultimately, he was, what, like 800,000 miles long. And he could have kept expanding, just so that we could deal with him. He stopped at that size, but... and that's the Lord. It's just like when Krishna comes, Lord Ram, we're going to celebrate this weekend, Saturday. He set an example of marrying only one wife and being totally dedicated to her. But his father, as was the culture at that time, Dasarath Maharaj, he had more than one wife. Generally speaking, the Chhatriyas practiced polygamy. And up to Krishna, 16,108 wives. And Prabhupada said, if they're saying Krishna is immoral, he could have married 16 million wives, 16 billion. No, there's no end. And that God shows his potency in this way. Even though those are foolish, disrespectful, as is stated in today's purport, they seem as an ordinary human being, but he acts extraordinarily, just to remind us. In every incarnation, even when he comes in a covered incarnation, like Lord Chaitanya, Chana Avatar, still he performs at least some pastimes that blow your mind. He just embraced some trees and they went back to Godhead just by his embrace. He was chewing coconut pulp and throwing to a dog. The dog was eating. He went back to Godhead. So he was showing here, Jarikanda pastimes. He got the lions and the tigers and the elephants to chant Hare Krishna and bypass their normal enmity of each other. They were embracing, the deer and the tigers were embracing and kissing and chanting Hare Krishna. So that's Lord Chaitanya showing his divinity, showing his transcendental nature. So Prabhupada said, don't try to imitate that though. He's God. He can do that. Don't try to preach to tigers and lions. And we just try to approach the human beings and see if we can get them a little bit interested. Again, at least in chanting, dancing, taking prasadam. And then if they can do that, the day will come when the fog will clear and they can start to appreciate the philosophy. So it's a tough task. Prabhupada said, trying to establish a spiritual movement in a materialistic world is a very, very difficult task. But we try. Not looking for any remuneration for sure, not looking for any glorification, just doing it on the order of Krishna's representative for the pleasure of the Lord. And if we do things in that mood, whatever service we perform, and all services are accepted by the Lord. It's not, again, only that the ones who are distributing the books get glory and the others, no. No, where did the book come from? So those who produce the book, they're also important. Those who warehouse the books, just like we have, many of you may not even know, Ekaraj Prabhu, he's been a disciple of Ridhananda Maharaj, he lives across the street, because he doesn't interact so much with the devotees, but he's dedicated his life to running the warehouse. And it's not an easy thing to do. If any one of you want to be the warehouse manager for a week, just see what it's like. It's not easy. As a matter of fact, I think Shabbos would readily trade 10 pujaris. It's easier to find 10 pujaris and train them to do pujari service than to find one person to be trained to run the warehouse. Not an easy job. So don't you think that he's getting any benefit from the Lord, the credit from the Lord for doing that? Yes, of course. As Prabhupada said, those who grow the roses get as much benefit as those who offer the roses on the altar. It's not that only the pujaris are important or only the book distributors. Everybody's important. And my favorite, I like to point out, is that like any other army, the Krishna army runs in its stomach. So if somebody didn't cook every day, there would be no service, no Hari Bowl, no anything. So how important are the cooks? So we have to see beyond the material stratification. We think that this person is important, that person is not. Everybody who gives any sincere service to the Lord is accepted by the Lord as being important. So we should not fool ourselves or not misunderstand that, you know, just this particular group of devotees are important and the others are not. All important. Any sincere service offered. And that's pointed out in Ram Lila. We're going to hear this weekend how the spider, he was trying his best to roll a few pebbles into the water to build that bridge to Lanka. And Hanuman would say, hey, get out of our way. We may step on you. We're doing important work here, putting these big boulders in the ocean to make a bridge. So Ram stopped him. He said, no. His service is also accepted. His service is also important. So we should see like that. Any little service that we can do sincerely for the Lord accepts and reciprocates with us. And that doesn't mean that we should be satisfied just to do a little service. We should always try to improve our service, always try to do more. But also understanding that it's the mood in which the service is offered, and it's not necessarily the quantity of service that the Lord sees, it's the mood again in which the devotee is offering the service. Keeping in mind that I am insignificant, and whatever ability I have is coming from you, so please direct me to use that ability in your service. So we can stop here. Any questions, comments? Jai Balaram.
Maybe you can share with us how you got your first book.
Devamrita Das Brahmachari at the time, he's now Devamrita Swami. He went out on book distribution. He had a book table on J Street in Brooklyn. And my college that I was going to, Polytechnic Institute of New York, happened to be on the same street. So I was walking down. I saw him sitting at a book table. And again, I've said many times, you've heard the story. My first reaction was, this person is very brave to walk around New York dressed like this. You know, he was wearing dhoti kurta, brahmachari at the time, saffron. So I thought, very brave to walk around dressed like this. So let me go see what this is all about. So I stopped. And at first, my eye was more attracted to incense than anything else. But then gradually, we chatted and I looked at the books. And being a poor college student, I couldn't afford a Gita at the time, so I just got a pamphlet, Krishna Reservoir of Pleasure. And that's what hooked me. Because Prabhupada, if you haven't read that pamphlet, or you haven't read it in a long time, from the very first line, Prabhupada says, Krishna, that name is transcendental. Krishna means the highest pleasure. Every one of us is looking for pleasure, but we don't know properly how to seek pleasure. So from the very first sentence, Prabhupada hooked me. I said, yeah. I have to admit, I'm looking for pleasure. I'm running all over like crazy looking for pleasure. And not finding it really. At least a little bit here, a little bit there, not anything constant. So let me read the rest of it. And I read the rest of it and immediately went looking for the temple. So this is the power of hearing from a pure devotee of the Lord. Even with a very simple phrase, very simple words, he can hook you and introduce you to Krishna. And once you're hooked and introduced to Krishna, then there's no turning back. There's no, Prabhupada said once, you may try to leave, but Krishna will drag you back to Godhead kicking and screaming. He will. So, anything else? Rabindranath Prabhu.
You mentioned the pastime of the spider helping build the bridge. I was just wondering what's the original source of that, because I never could find that and just wanted to know if it's...
It's in the Ramayana.
It's in the what? Yeah, but I don't recall it in the Ramayana. I just... It's yeah. I don't recall it in Valmiki's Ramayana. And,
Yeah. And Prabhupada also mentioned.
Prabhupada mentioned, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Gratharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. And Gaur Bhaktivedanta Ki Jai. Hari Bol.
Because of the distribution.
are cancer. You can go.
Yeah, very concentrated.